to continue leading up to the Ten Commandments. We saw last week that the laws of God, including the Ten Commandments, require complete obedience. This is both an inward and an outward. It's keeping the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. Unless we do that, we have not kept the law. Also, in the Ten Commandments, whatever sin is forbidden, the contrary duty is commanded. And where one duty is commanded, the contrary sin is forbidden. And that's very important in the day and age in which we live, because of the thought process of individuals. They'll say, well, it doesn't say that, but it does. Because by making a command, common sense tells you that the opposite is forbidden, and vice versa. So when God forbids us to have any gods before Him, at the same time, He is commanding us to worship Him as the only true God. And we see that when He forbids the profaning of His name, that includes that we exalt Him. That includes that we reverence Him. So an individual may say, well, I haven't profaned His name. But you see that if you don't exalt Him and you don't reverence Him, you have profaned His name. So again, it's the letter, the spirit, what is commanded, the opposite is forbidden. When the Lord forbids stealing, He commands the lawful use of obtaining goods. And He commands the lawful use of the goods of others. When He forbids killing, He commands love to others. So the duties that are commanded cannot be performed without leaving the sins which are forbidden. So this is much more than just looking on the surface. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's much, and Jesus brought this out as we saw last week in the Sermon on the Mount. But I say unto you, it's much more than just the surface. It goes much, much deeper. Also, under one sin or duty, all of the same kind are forbidden or commanded. For example, when the Lord forbids murder, at the same time, He is forbidding all those things that would lead to murder. Envy, malice, spirit of revenge. And again, Jesus brings this forth in the Sermon on the Mount. So someone can say, well, I've never killed anybody, but you hold within you, or we hold within us, the spirit that would lead to murder. And so He forbids, in forbidding murder, He forbids envy, He forbids malice, and so on. When He forbids adultery, He also, as we saw in the Sermon on the Mount, He forbids the spirit of adultery, the looking with lust in our hearts. But under the heading of adultery is also all other forms of sexual sins. He forbids incest. He forbids fornication. He forbids all unclean imaginations. Well, I've never cheated on my wife or my husband, therefore I am not an adulteress. If you're friends of the world, God says you're an adulteress. Again, there's more than one way of breaking a command. So when he forbids adultery, he forbids incest, he forbids fornication, he forbids unclean imaginations, unclean thoughts, unclean purposes, unclean affections. All of those things are forbidden under that one commandment. Again, we could spend very easily, if we live the next 20 years, we could spend easily the next 20 years on the Ten Commandments and not get into the depth of what is involved in the commandments of God. Also, if we turn to Exodus chapter 20, the precepts of the second table yields to the first table. Now we know that there is a twofold division concerning the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments concern man's relationship to God, and they're really foundational to the others. Notice the first commandment in verse 3. Again, this is in the first four commandments are in relation to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is very direct. That commandment is broken every single day. You may not have a physical object, but anything that is put ahead of God, I don't care if it's just for 1 second, that commandment has been broken. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's foundational. Second commandment, again, in relationship to God, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, most religionists think that if they haven't broken the second commandment, they haven't broken the first. As long as I don't make a graven image, I haven't put anything ahead of God. Well, if that was the case, why didn't the Lord just mention one? I mean, that's nonsense. And a lot of people are confused. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. In other words, we don't worship God by sight. I think there's a lot of ways that this second commandment is broken today. You can go in most churches with the name Baptist on it, and they may not have a statue of Mary, but they have a cross. That's a graven image. It's a means to help them worship. And we'll get more on this when we get into the actual commandments. My point now is to see that these first four concern our relationship to God. Why is that? Because that is what is most important. Our relationship to God. We establish that. If our relationship with God is established, we have a completely different view concerning the commandments of the Lord. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's much more, as we'll see, that's much more than cursing. There's a lot of ways that the name of God is taken in vain or in an empty way without meaning. And then we see in verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy manservant, thy maidservant, thy cattle, thy stranger that is within thy gates. So these first four commandments relate to God. The next six, beginning with verse 12, relate to man. Honor thy father and thy mother. Who is the one that is likely to do that? The one who has that foundation. And then he goes on. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth, thou shalt not steal. The ninth, thou shalt not bear false witness. A lot of ways of doing that also. You can do that by silence. Some people will say, well, I didn't lie, I didn't say anything. No, you lied by silence. Thou shalt not covet. So two tables. One relates to God, the other relates to man. But all ten together, they are a unit. Commandments 5 through 10 are subject to our duty to God. Nothing is to compete with the person of God. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 14. The book of Luke, chapter 14. And verse 26. If any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and his own wife, which also includes everything that is in, that makes up that life, he cannot be. Doesn't say he probably will not be my disciple. As someone says, he cannot. In other words, it is an utter impossibility. He cannot be my disciple. Now, people will get very disturbed, and a pastor will not be around long if he continually says, you are not a follower of Christ because you put such and such and such and such ahead of the Lord. See how that goes over. Well, I'm a disciple. I may not be a faithful one. No, you cannot be my disciple. That's what it says. You cannot be. It's an impossibility. You can do it in pretense and make a mockery, but it is an impossibility. So nothing is to compete with the person of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, and this is why, again, it's established in the Ten Commandments. First, as it relates to God, because nothing is to compete with the Lord. But Peter and John, in Acts 4, verse 19, answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. We're going to obey God rather than man. So, again, the first four commandments are foundation. The Ten Commandments are stated as moral absolutes. They're not suggestions. They're moral absolutes. And as such, they are timeless. As such, they are universal. The Ten Commandments manifest that the rule of man's obedience is not ambiguous. It's not hard to be understood. There's nothing hard to understand about thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's nothing hard about that. It's hard to do, but there's nothing hard to understand about what does God, well, what does he mean? He means exactly what he says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt commit adultery. Well, what does that mean? It means just what it says. The commandments of God are not ambiguous. They are very, very plain. And that's what upsets folks. Because he leaves no wiggle room. And this is upsetting to people because people want license to move around how they please. The Ten Commandments reveal that the rule of man's conduct does not need to be found out by a lot of study. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I'm going to study that. What are you going to study? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It doesn't require study to understand what that means. God made it very simple. We see also that really the commandments are very plain and they're obvious to the common sense of mankind. And therein lies the problem. Due to the judgment of God, due to the sinfulness of man, common sense has all but disappeared. So man has a difficult time now understanding what the Ten Commandments are saying. The Ten Commandments has a rule of man's conduct, is explained and illustrated time and time again, all through the Word of God. And I believe that in some measure, the Ten Commandments are written on the conscience of all mankind. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Romans 2, verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile according or while accusing or else excusing one another. The Ten Commandments are written upon the hearts and conscience of mankind. That is why when a child does something wrong, you don't have to tell them, now when you do this, you need to sneak. Because you don't have to tell them that. They know that. How do they know that? Because they know it's wrong. It's written in their hearts. It is written in the hearts of mankind that man does not cohabit with man or woman with woman. That's written in the hearts of mankind. Now there is a problem. As you proceed in sin, your conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. In other words, it's closed. But I do believe that everyone is born with the law of God to a degree written upon their hearts. They know it's wrong. There are just certain things you know are wrong. Without anybody telling you, you know it's wrong. Because those things are written upon our conscience. How wicked it is to have our conscience seared is with hot iron. So the Ten Commandments reach to the very conscience of man. Conscience is a wonderful thing. It's a mercy of God. It reaches to the commandments reach to every desire and affection of the heart. Every action we perform. It is a rule for both our hearts. It is a rule for both our hearts and our lives. So again, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we're not just talking about the letter of the law. We're talking about the spirit of the law as well. We're not just talking about the outward action. We're talking about the inward spirit. And we should all know by experience, it's a lot easier to outwardly obey a system of rules than it is to inwardly have a right spirit. And this is what Christ continually addressed, and I feel for decades has been ignored, and people have a hard time with it today. They would much rather you just give them some rules, and we'll outwardly obey, we'll pick and choose which ones we'll outwardly obey, and everybody will be happy as long as everybody picks the same rules. But that's not how the Lord works. It's much more difficult than that. And that brings us to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll spend the next couple weeks on this, but we see Christ gives a summary of the commandments in Matthew 22, verse 37 through verse 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These are the words of Christ in response to the lawyer's question in verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus goes on to say, love is the basis of the law. And the law can be summarized in two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That covers commandments 1 through 4. Our relationship to God. What is the basis of those commandments relating directly to God? It is love to God. That is the basis. That is the foundation. Love to God. The second is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Commandments 5 through 10 relate to man. What is the basis of those commandments relating to man? Love to neighbor. Love to man. So the basis of keeping the commandments relating to God is love to God. The basis of keeping the commandments relating to man is love to man. If man loves God, he will not put other gods ahead of him. He will not profane his name. If man loves his neighbor, he will not commit adultery. He will not steal. He will not murder. So love is the basis. Love is the foundation. It's no wonder that Paul said the greatest of these is love. Because love is the foundation. So if we do not have love for God, we're in a heap of trouble. If we do not have love for man, the same. So the sum of all the commandments is love. All its precepts are summed up in one word. Love. Love. We want to put God first because we love Him. We do not want to profane His name. We do not want to profane His day. Because we love Him. We want to honor our father and mother because we love man. We do not want to commit adultery because we love our wife and we love other people and we don't want to involve them in that. It's love. It comes down to love. Now, you tell people the reason you do this is because of a love problem with God, or the reason you do this is because of a love problem toward man, people aren't going to accept that very well. They don't want to hear that. I love God with all my heart. And I love my neighbor as myself. And that's why you committed adultery? Because you love your neighbor as yourself? That's why you steal? Love is the basis. Which brings us to the root, which we must always come to. If we break the commandments, we need to begin to examine our love. So the summary of the first table of the Ten Commandments is love to God, Matthew 22, verse 37. And the summary of the second table is love to our neighbor, Matthew 22, verse 39. Obedience to the Ten Commandments is to proceed from a spirit of love. Whether they relate directly to God or whether they relate directly to man, they are to proceed from love. Notice in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Very familiar verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And a lot of people stop right there. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And His commandments, when there is this love, are not grievous. It ought to trouble us when we hear people say, or when we say ourselves, oh, but it's so hard. It ought to trouble us. Because if love is what it should be, His commandments are not grievous. Oh, it's so hard taking care of my little baby. Oh, it's so hard, it's so hard. You don't say that. Why? Because you love that baby. And whatever you have to do is not grievous. You do it. And this is what this is saying. So when we find it so difficult, the problem, and what we like to do is, well, it's so difficult because of the times in which we live. That's not the problem. The problem is a love problem. Because if we love God, we'll not only keep His commandments, but we'll enjoy doing it. His commandments are not grievous. So the Word of God gives love a very prominent place, a very vital place, a place of necessity, a place of preeminence. And this is true both to love to God and love to our neighbor. On these two things, love to God, love to neighbor, hang all the law. So we have to have this love if we're going to keep the commandments. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We do thank You, Lord, that You make it very plain to us what You expect. And Lord, we thank You for that. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to always consider what it is that you want, what it is that pleases you in everything that we say and everything that we do. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us today, that you would help us, Lord, to worship you. Lord, help us to honor you and glorify you in everything that we say and everything that we do. Lord, we pray that for those that are here and lost, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation. Lord, that each one of us might go from here today with spiritual cups overflowing. Lord, we pray that you would send showers of blessing down upon us, whether it be correction or whatever, Lord, we just pray that you'd bless in a mighty way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.